Welcome to Sup with Jesus, a study and discussion of God's Word around God's table. I'm your co-host, Steve Broderson, along with Pastor John White, inviting you to join us for Table Talk Radio as we break the bread of life on Sup with Jesus.
The appetizer.
Welcome to Sup with Jesus. My name is John White.
Reverend John White.
Pastor.
Reverend
Shepherd.
John White.
Nobody calls me Reverend John White. For, I guess, real obvious reasons. And with me is...
Steve Broderson. Just Steve.
Just Steve. Oh, you're not just Steve.
Well, to some I'm dad.
That's right.
To some I'm honey.
Oh, God.
My wife, mostly.
She says honey?
Yeah, she says honey, and if she's in a good mood when I've, you know, picked up my laundry and done what I need to do around the house.
Oh, well, that's good. So it's a conditional kind of...
I'm not being a total slacker. Well, she loves me unconditionally, but
she does?
I still, you know, need to pick up around the house.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is that an issue for you?
Oh, yeah. Next topic.
Is that one of your issues?
Next.
Oh, gosh.
Waiter, check, please.
Speaking of waiter, what is your lovely... yummy, whatever it is you've got. I don't know. What is that thing?
Rigatoni.
Oh, and shemera.
Yes, they do very good Italian here at this French restaurant.
That's excellent, because I've got some Indian food today. I've got a keema samosa, and I can't wait to take a bite. Keema samosa.
Do you bite that, or do you drink it, or what is that?
What's keema samosa? How else am I going to eat? Look at this. Here, I hold it up like this.
Okay.
It is
looks pretty interesting.
Well, it looks kind of like a fritter, but then when I take a bite out of it, it's what it is. It's lamb and just a bunch of,
ground up stuff.
Indian stuff in there, yeah.
And it's fried into that pastry.
Oh, yeah, it's real good. Here, I'm going to eat it. Okay. Just tell us about your weekend.
My week was great. Golly, that's a drippy thing, isn't it?
I like to put this, this mint juice.
Wipe your mouth, please.
Excuse me, what? No.
Can I tell people about our guest?
What?
Can I tell everyone
sure.
about our guest?
Sure.
We have a great guest today. Terry Taylor is here. It's a special celebrity edition of Sup with Jesus. Terry is a great songwriter, singer. He's been in the Christian music industry since almost the beginning with his band Daniel Amos and subsequent bands The Swirling Eddies and now The Lost Dogs. So he's going to join us here. He's not quite here. He's getting something at the buffet, and he's going to come back to the table.
I hate to do this. This has not happened since we've been on the air.
Did your beeper go off?
No, but something's going off because I maybe it was the keema samosa or the mint chutney or something.
I heard you're not
maybe
supposed to mix
green
those.
Tea. No. Well, now's a little fine time to tell me.
Oh,
I'm
going
to have
sorry.
To excuse myself. If you will please excuse me, I will be right back.
I should do the interview without
what?
You?
No, I'm just you're perfectly capable, but I gotta go.
Okay.
Gotta go.
I got it.
Pierre, where's the Jean?
Well, while John is incapacitated, apparently, I guess I'll take over and introduce our guest, Terry Taylor, who joins us today at the table. Terry is a founder of Daniel Amos, one of the very first Christian rock bands that ever was back in the late 70s. Since then, Daniel Amos, or DA, has recorded several albums and then side projects like The Swirling Eddies and most recently The Lost Dogs. Have kept Terry in the ears of music listeners everywhere. So Terry, it's great that you can join us. What do you want to talk about today?
I don't want to talk about me. This is something that I love to talk about. Just me.
Just you.
All me. All me radio.
Yeah, that could be a new format. Well, your latest CD, The Lost Dog's latest CD, is out, and it's called Mutt. And it features, these are songs from your other bands?
The idea was to go in and record songs from our old bands and pick three tunes apiece. And that was what was fun about it, to hear your song sort of in a way reinterpreted and hear a different voice. And everyone was so complimentary towards each other and so generous in that during that whole course of that project. The great things about going back in and doing these songs is on the original recordings, you did it a certain way, and that's the way it is. That's the way you've heard it on the record. That's the way you've played it for years. And it's nice to sort of explore this other way of doing it, going a little acoustic, a little bit more laid back, a little more flowing. We did If You Want To. Originally, it was pretty raw.
Yeah.
Raucous kind of thing. And I always had heard the song. I've always heard the song that way, and I've always heard it another way. I always thought, well, it would really be great to hear the Lost Dogs do that song.
Yeah.
And have Mike sing it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, in the middle of all this, getting to the song you're talking about, we were up late one night and probably around 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And Steve and I were outside and was telling him that my daughter's getting ready to leave for college. And said it's really tough because here she's been in the house for 19 years, born in the same house that we're in. My son's been there since he was a year old. So it's not a large house, fairly small. And we just had this family in this house and this intimate sort of situation. And you know, you think of things like my daughter has an incredible sense of humor, as my son does. You know, we're always laughing and she's got a great laugh, and just not seeing that every day, not experiencing that every day, you know, it's just a sad thing, and it's a letting go. It's kind of a dying to yourself in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Steve's daughter's not quite as old, but he's already beginning to feel that thing.
That pull.
Yeah, that pull. And we started talking about that, and he said, you know, what about a song? You know, leave it to Steve. You know, he's thinking songs,
yeah.
And you know.
Resilient.
And I'm sure eventually I would have thought, yeah, this would make a great song or something. And so we started just jotting ideas down. And then I went and got the guitar. And you got to think, this is like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
You know? We're just almost dead, tired, ready to go to bed.
And way past the noise ordinance, I bet.
Yeah, that's right. When you get that inspiration, it's a rush. And it's like, it's similar to Christmas morning when you're a kid and you're up at 5 or 6 o'clock for Christmas. You've got your body's exhausted, but your heart's beating faster, your brain's spinning, you're excited. You know, it's all that stuff. It's also how you feel when you first bring your child home, you know, from the hospital or whatever. It's the same thing. You go in and look at them, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning. But anyway, so it's somewhat similar when you're a songwriter. You know, you just get that energy that starts happening when you feel that inspiration. And we started feeding each other thoughts back and forth and creating little lines. And then finally he said, I got to go home and get some sleep, you know. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to sleep because I'm going to be thinking about this tune. So I go back to my room. I'm staying at Derry's house. And I'm still writing this thing. And sure enough, a half an hour after, I'm still up. The phone rings, my cell phone, and it's Steve, and he says, how about, you know?
Yeah, he's thinking too.
He's thinking too. And so eventually, I think over the course of the next day, the song was completed. And so I believe it was the last song we recorded. And we kept saying to each other, this is crazy. We're doing another song, you know, the schedule, the whole thing. But, you know, it just sort of... Once we were inspired and once we sort of had the arrangement, we went and did it.
You had to do it.
Yeah, had to do it.
And so it's called I'm Setting You Free, But I'm Not
But I'm Not Letting You Go. Which is basically is just saying, you know, this is how life is. You know, your children need to go out into the world and experience their own lives, and they're ready to do that in some way, and part of their heart stays at home. And you know, my daughter's kind of already getting cold feet, you know, about the move.
Oh.
You know, being away from home. She's suddenly realizing what that's going to be.
Yeah.
She'll fully realize it when she's really gone physically. So so there's all that. And it was just a really great thing. After we'd recorded it, and I flew back from Nashville home, and I told her, honey, I got a little gift for you. And we were in the car, and my wife was driving. Noelle was in the back, and I put that song in, and it was over, and there was just this silence, you know, for a long time. And I could hear her in the back, you know, I heard the sobs, and she said, "Thank you, Daddy." So, and it struck a chord with a lot of people. I played it up in Berkeley for college students who came up afterwards and said, I have more of an appreciation for what my parents were going through, you know.
Yeah.
So it works both sides of the fence. It touches parents, they identify with it, and touches kids too.
Yeah. Well, it's a great metaphor. I haven't listened to the whole thing, to be fair, because I just now got the CD tonight.
Right.
But my first thought was, what a great parallel it is between how God treats his children, his children. He's setting you free, and we've got all freedom in Christ, but he's not letting us go.
Not letting us go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The main course.
Well, Terry, I'm going to start things off by reading a couple of verses. I know I'm going to ask you about this particular song, I'm Setting You Free, But I'm Not Letting You Go. I'm going to let you talk about the inspiration for that in just a second, but I know that it was born out of kind of a low place in your life, or at least a lonely place, and I think a lot of our listeners can relate to that. So before you get into that song, I want to read a couple of verses that have to do with loneliness and suffering and pain and low places, but then also an inspirational verse from the Old Testament. So I'm going to start out in Romans 8, and starting at verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Now to the Old Testament, a reading from Isaiah. The prophet says this, Isaiah 41, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So, wow, words of suffering and then also words of encouragement. Well, the song that you've been talking about that I kind of want you to focus on, Terry, is I'm Setting You Free, But I'm Not Letting You Go. And it sounds to me like this song was kind of born out of a different place than some of your other songs. So could you talk about how that affected your songwriting?
You know, we've all heard songs about, you know, grandma or mom or dad or your kid or whatever, and some of the country stuff that you hear is sort of people schlocky and manipulative and that sort of thing. And I always have feared that.
Intentionally playing on people's emotions.
Sure. And it's easy to do. And in a way, it's a cheap shot. And I think that what has to happen in your own life for you to get intimate with your own personal life and people that are in your family and writing songs about them, I think it comes through, often can come through pain, through a type of suffering or whatever in your life, the loss of that person or even a relationship like one that I had with my dad, which was bumpy in my life, because he was a difficult man, and he had a dark side to him. Not that he was abusive or anything like that, far from it, but he was just not an expressive man.
Yeah, not emotionally accessible.
Emotionally accessible, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And looking back over my life, I see where, my mom and my dad married very, very young. My mom was 17.
Wow.
And then had kids right away, and they were just, they didn't know how to do things, you know, they were winging it, sort of, trying to get things from their own parents, but tough, and my dad, you know, struggled with that. So, God brought my grandfather into my life, who supplied for me the emotional connection that I needed, the assurance of love and affection and tenderness and all of those things. I look back and see that in my life. I think that what happens as you move on in life, and as I've gotten older in my life, where you begin to, you know, you have more experiences of sort of tragic losses. You know, the first one was losing my grandfather. It just felt like that I was just sort of free-floating. Okay, what do I do now? You know, I don't have him as a sort of center, mentor in my life. And then my relationship with my dad grew better over the years, and he was a little more expressive and that sort of thing. And, of course, my mom, you know, is precious to me. And then you have kids and that whole thing. But you go through these things. You live long enough on the earth, you begin to experience these losses and tremendous losses, tragedies to you. And what that does is it begins to focus you on eternal things, mm-hmm. you know, especially with the loss of my dad, who this came very powerfully to me when I lost him, because he had made a commitment when he was very young to follow Christ. He was in a religious home, but it's very cold and very stuffy, sort of a stale kind of religiosity.
Some more cultural than kind of.
Yeah, well, a little. It was just a sort of self-righteous and sort of, we don't do this and we don't do that, and it's a lot of don'ts, you know, mm-hmm. very joyless sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so he struggled, that he didn't want that in his life, and so there was this sort of natural sort of repulsion of anything that smacked of that kind of thing. When I became a Christian, he was interested in what that meant, and then later on in life, I sensed a certain admiration from him, and an admiration for what I did for a living, right up to the end. But, you know, the circumstance moved into his life of death coming on, death's door lurking. And on his deathbed, said his very last words before he breathed his last, he saw something. You know, he wasn't talking to us.
Mm.
I don't know if he was even aware of us in the room at that point, but he said, "Oh Jesus, it's so beautiful," at that moment. So I had this incredible sense that he, you know, that God was, he had a vision.
Yeah.
And I think that these difficult circumstances and these tragedies in our lives, they force you in a way to reassess your life, what life is about. You reach this age and you start thinking, and I think it's all God's grace in all of this.
It's hard to write a shallow tune when you've experienced
it. Yeah, that's right. It comes from your heart and soul. And I think that what I see as the sort of terrible grace of moments like that with my dad is, it just, as tragic as it is, my own intimacy is deepened with Christ. My own sense of eternity is deepened. My own sense of being seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My sense of that there truly will be reunion, restoration.
Hmm.
And a lot of my songs are about that restoration and things being made right again. And when you're a young person, your life stretched out ahead of you, it's all here. You know, you sort of, oh yeah, heaven, you know, this kind of
vague concept
out there somewhere. Yeah, we're going to heaven.
Yeah.
But you reach this point in your life and you have enough of these character builders, is what they are. Christ being formed in you through the tragedies of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fellowship of his suffering. This is the dirty little secret that our evangelists don't really talk about. This.
The sunside guys.
Yeah. And what you have is, you know, God's got a wonderful plan for your life, which is true.
Prosperity.
All these things, yes. And the dirty little secret is that there's something called the fellowship of his suffering, which is a privilege for us to enter into. Now, we draw back, our soul, our flesh, our minds can draw back. The Spirit's in us, saying, go into it. Mm-hmm. Go into the fire.
So much of our business is about avoiding that.
Absolutely.
Discomfort and that unknown and everything else that we don't like.
Yeah.
It seems like that's kind of crept into the church. And instead, like you said, counting it as a blessing and living into it, we're trying to figure out how to pray it away.
Yeah. And it's not even a blessing on the, la, 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 everything's wonderful thing. Like, oh, God just gave me a wonderful blessing.
Yeah.
It's a sobering reality. It's a blessing. It's sort of blessing / curse in some sense, because it means death to us. This is what Paul was talking about when he's saying, dying to myself. I mean, when I was young, I'd read those words. What does that really mean? Oh, I shouldn't look in the mirror as much as I do, or whatever it is. But you can't bring that dying into your life. You're not drawing from, you try and draw from your own well, you're drawing nothing but dirty water. It's not there. This is something that comes from outside. This is God's terrible gift to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the thing, it's the point, it's the critical mass of taking us into a deeper place in Christ. Mm-hmm. And this is a sense of being able to truly say from your heart, I count it all as nothing. That he could say that. And I've been in those moments.
The dessert.
Oswald Chambers talks about these moments that God takes you into this place of transcendence, of a moment in your life, or moments, a sustained sort of moment in your life where you just have this intimacy with God, and you really see yourself as a sinner beyond, seemingly beyond redemption. These moments, dark night of the soul, whatever you want to call it, where it's fully revealed and you're undone. And when you're undone, you're able to truly go, Jesus, you are everything. I count my life as nothing. And he talks about having those experiences from time to time where God will take you into that place, sort of fold you, wrap you in it. And it's almost too much. I've been in these places where it's almost too much. I've been to the place where I've said, God, please no more.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not only sensing a dying to myself, which a terrible, almost ripping away of the fabric of my life. And I don't want that, but it's the only way through to come, in some ways, come into the deepest, deepest parts of who Christ is.
Totally connect, yeah.
That suffering moment. And Oswald Chambers talks about it. You have these moments, and he says, so you're up on the church steeple, and you're holding on to your cross on the church steeple, and you want to stay there. You want to stay in, you're having a blessing. You want to stay in that moment. He says, at some point, you got to let go. Get down, start walking around the mundane stuff, live your life, because you're not always going to feel something.
Right.
And it's that point that I have to just trust that God is going to take me where I need to go, whether I'm feeling it or not. Mm-hmm. And I will have cognizant moments of a real sense of God's presence, real sense of Christ with me. But most of the time, it's just that faithing through. It's the times when we don't feel like praying.
Mm-hmm.
And we pray anyway. And that's called faith. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes all I have is that little bit, that faith pleases God, pleases him. That I can please God is an amazing thing.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. Well, thank you so much for being here, Terry. And I'm going to close this in prayer. And then I'm going to play that song for everyone, because it's a great song and I want everyone to hear it. So let's pray. God, thank you so much that you set us free but you don't let us go. We thank you that even in kind of the dark night of our soul, whether we've experienced loss or separation or we just feel lonely, that you're never truly gone. You've never truly let us go. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, the presence of that Spirit that ministers to us. You said you would send the Comforter, and indeed you did, because even though you might not be here physically with us to comfort us in those times, that you sent the Holy Spirit to do that. And we pray that if there's anybody in the audience right now that's going through that, that hurt, that loneliness, that separation, perhaps has felt the pain of death in their family, that you would just be with them in a very real and a very present way, God. And we thank you for the upcoming school year. There's going to be a lot of people experiencing what the song talks about. And we pray that both for parents and for the kids that are going away, that your Spirit would speak to them as well and speak to them through this song. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm setting you free, but I'm not letting you go. I'm watching you fly away, but keeping you close. I can't help but cry a little, heaven knows. I'm setting you free, but I'm not letting you go. Though Mom says I spoil you, here's a little something for spending. He's come home real often and soon. Would you think of us as foolish if we do some pretending by leaving the light on here in your room? I'm setting you free, but I'm not letting you go. I'm watching you fly away, but keeping you close. I can't help but cry a little, heaven knows. I'm setting you free, but I'm not letting you go. Drive slow on the freeways, call first thing when you get there. You know me, how I worry, I'll be up most the night. And if you need anything, baby, no, we'll both be here. In the meantime, we're praying that your future is bright. Oh, I'm setting you free, but I'm not letting you go. I'm watching you fly away, but keeping you close. I can't help but cry a little, heaven knows. I'm setting you free, but I'm not letting you go. Where's that princess? In a party dress, now she's a young lady with dreams. Fly away, butterfly, on the wind taking wings. First time that I held your child, it forever changed my soul. And I'm holding you now because I want you to know. I'm setting you free, but I'm not letting you go. I'm watching you fly away, can't help but cry a little, heaven knows. I'm setting you free, but I'm not letting you go.
Wow. I'm setting you free, but I'm not letting you go. That's The Lost Dogs featuring Terry Taylor. To wrap things up for this week's episode of Sup with Jesus. And don't forget to check out our website, www.supwithjesus.com, and you can learn more about our guests. You can catch up on the shows that you've missed and have a lot of fun on our chat board as well. Well, this is Steve Broderson for Pastor John White saying, no matter where you're dining or what's on the menu, be sure to Jesus, a guest at your table. We'll see you next week.